Okay, let's get to today's message. And I've titled this as a series, and it'll be several sermons during this fast, Fasting in Jesus, the Bread of Life. And the scripture that I want us to look at is from Luke chapter 5, verse 33 and 35. And this is the New Living Translation. Sometimes the New Living Translation just says things very succinctly in a very way that we can understand. It says, one day some people said to Jesus, John the Baptist's disciples fast and pray regularly, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. Why are your disciples always eating and drinking? Is that true? We're always eating and drinking, okay? Jesus responded, do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday, the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Jesus here was speaking of the time when he would be taken away, when he would leave this earth, and it would be then would be the time for us to fast. They didn't fast when he was with them, but the time for fasting is now. We're going to cover a lot of material in the next coming weeks. Should the church fast? What hinders us from fasting? What happens when you do fast? Why is this topic of such little importance? And Jesus said, when you fast. And so today's sermon title is, should the church be fasting today? Should we? I mean, I've already said some things about that, but should we? And look at this passage of Scripture. Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I think each one of us would see ourselves there and ask the question, which is a fair question to ask of ourselves, do I hunger and thirst for righteousness? And if the answer to that is yes, then you will be filled. If the answer to that is no, then you can probably say that your life reflects that lack of hunger and thirst for things. So the emptiness that you often experience in life is a direct reflection of your hunger and thirst for God. The more you hunger and thirst for it, the psalmist wrote this. He said, as a deer pants after the water brook, so my soul longs for thee. And it's a very natural picture of an animal in the, that is thirsty and goes to a place of water to quench its thirst. And David, when he wrote that, said, and so my soul longs for you. And the question that I pose to you today, the answer, is do you thirst for God? I mean, is there a thirst in your life for God? Or is God something that's just kind of an addendum to your life? Or is it the focus of your life? Is it the thing that motivates you? Or is it something that you kind of tolerate in life? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. But you probably would also say, yeah, I believe in Abraham Lincoln. You know, Abraham Lincoln's not much of a motivation today. But is God motivating you in some way, a closeness to him? Too much time is spent satisfying our chosen style of life. We spend a lot of time thinking about what we want and the things that we do. A good friend of mine who mentored me in the Lord, he said this. He said, we've created the world we can't live in. Think about that. And it's very easy for me to say, yes, they have created a world that we can't live in. But the fact is that I've created my own world that I can't live in. I have a niece who I love dearly, and she writes an annual Christmas letter to the family. And it's always long, it's always late. And yeah, it sometimes comes way after Christmas. I mean, by the time she gets it out to us. She tells us all the things that are going on in her life, her husband's life, and their two children. She happens to be a doctor. All right? Her husband happens to be a CPA who owns a roofing business. And her two kids are typical American kids. They do everything. Mom and dad, you know, we have them doing everything what mom and dad can't do. Grandma and grandpa help them do, all right? And she always says, virtually in every one of the letters, she said, I just don't have any time. She's out of time. The chosen lifestyle she has, which is probably the American dream, you know, they live in a nice place, she's well-educated, her husband's well-educated, the children are beautiful, and yet the lifestyle that she has no time. And what for most of us, this is life. We're busy on our jobs. We're busy doing things that we feel is important, recreation, taking care of other people, all of these things, but we're devoid of time spent seeking God. So, well, I go to church on Sunday. Of course, in this church, as you well know, we actually have at least two, maybe three congregations. There's the odd number Sunday morning group, there's the even number Sunday morning group, and there's the I'll be there when I feel like the group, all right? So they kind of come and go, and every once in a while you'll notice that you'll come into church and virtually every chair is full. That's because people forget which Sunday they're supposed to be here, and they all show up at the same time. And it's always, you know, everybody gets excited. Oh, we had a full group in church. They say, no, they just got their Sundays messed up. They'll be back to the regular routine. And it usually happens that way. Now, I'm not being critical, but I'm just saying that's the way it is. One of the things that happened to me when Pat and I got into the kingdom, and I'm going to make a statement that's best of my recollection true. The first time I got invited to a church as a believer, I went, I don't think, and that's been over 40 years now, I don't think I've missed going to church four times. And several of those times I had my arm whacked off, I couldn't go to church, so that kind of slowed me down a little bit. Or I had some kind of medical reason. But church is a priority in Pat and I's life. He said, well, sure, it's a priority for you. You're the pastor of the church. No, I was a lot longer not a pastor than I am a pastor. So, but it was a priority, and that's kind of, we were motivated. And we need to be motivated. Sometimes you need to motivate yourself. Listen, everybody wakes up on Sunday morning feeling bad, feeling tired. I was busy all week. I had so much to do that I don't have time to go to church. Oh, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible, all those things. None of those things will save your soul. Jesus saves your soul. But all of those things will help you in your walk in this life. It'll help you focus in the right place. And so one of the reasons that we fast is we say, okay, we're going to take 21 days and we're going to focus on God. 3 weeks out of a 52-week year, that's not very much. That's a very small percentage. But it's saying something about you and your desire to get closer to God. Now, many of you may feel, well, I'm as close to God as I want to get. Well, that's about as close as you're going to get then, you know. But there's more. There's more if you reach out for it and try to grab onto it. The two key words in that text we just read were hunger and thirst. Let me tell you a little bit about hunger. It's a basic signal from your stomach that you need food. If you're hungry, you need food. Most of us don't wait that long. We don't wait till we get hungry to eat. We just eat. You know, I've told you that in our house, in our pantry, we have these brass doorknobs in our house, and all of them look alike except the one that's in the pantry. It looks like it's been polished because we go in there so much. I mean, we're always in the pantry. You know, you sit down, look at TV, and then you're up. You know, you go get a cookie or you go get, you know, something. I don't know about your house, but our house is like this. You get something sweet to eat, and you sit down and you eat it, and then you need something salty. So you go get something salty to eat, and then you need more sweet. So it's a constant pathway. You know, but we've learned not to bring the food to the couch. Because you can't bring a bag of chips to the couch. There'll be an empty bag. You just got to get a handful of them. But be that as it may, when we're hungry, and if you haven't been really hungry, your stomach is trying to tell you something. If you're thirsty, it's a signal that your body's in danger. If thirst is telling you something's wrong, you're dehydrating. You need some liquid. And some of you probably been in a situation in your life where you needed liquids really bad, and if you don't get something to drink, I mean, you'll die. You'll die from thirst before you'll die from hunger, believe it or not. Most people don't think that way. So, but when we're not physically hungry, it means one of several things. You're either full, you know, you just walked out of your favorite restaurant, you know, and you waddle out, you know, and you kind of, oh, that was so good, you know. So you're not hungry because you're full, or you're sick. You mentioned about your mom. One of the first things that happens to you when you get sick is you lose your appetite. You don't want to eat. You know, I just don't feel like eating anything. And it's one of those times where your doctors and your nurses and medical people tell you, you have to eat something. You have to you need food for your body to get your strength going. So either you're full or you're sick, or the other time we're not hungry is when we get busy. You ever been so busy you forgot to eat? You know, do that all the time. You know, I work, and I'm the world's worst at doing that. I get so busy, I don't stop to eat, and then I start getting a little lightheaded or just feel, oh, I got to go get something to eat. You know? So those things happen. When we're not spiritually hungry or thirsty, it's when we're filled with God's presence. If you're filled with God's presence, you know, and you've got your relationship is such that you're not hungering after God, you know, you could be filled with God's presence. And I've had those moments, not very long periods of time, where I felt that I've had everything from God that I needed at the moment. Or you're spiritually sick. You know, just like your physical body, if you're spiritually sick, you say, you don't want to eat anything. I don't want to do that. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to, you know, pray. I don't want to go visit somebody. I don't want to do that. I just don't want to. And a lot of what's wrong with us is that we don't want to do things. We just don't want to. But we make up all kinds of spiritual reasons to explain why we don't want to. And none of them say, I don't want to. We say, oh, well, I've already done that. I don't need to do that. You know, it's not important. You know, I'm saved, you know, and I don't need to do that kind of stuff. So that's a symptom to me that there's something spiritually not going on right. You might have a temperature, a spiritual temperature, right? And the other is if you're busy, you're getting your chosen lifestyle, you don't have time for God and prayer and getting up. I admire people who say they get up early every morning and pray. I am not an early morning get up and pray kind of guy. I do it on occasion, but I don't do it a lot because I don't want to. I can give you a lot of reasons why I don't, but the truth is I just don't want to. And I won't get into that, but that's just being the facts about it. So what I want us to look at today is some reasons why I believe that the church should fast today, okay? And the first reason is the necessity to fast is historical. It's historical in the Scripture, okay? Look at a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament, from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verses 49 and 50. Now, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. The prophet is comparing Israel to Sodom. And everybody knows about Sodom and Gomorrah, right? That's the hellfire and brimstone, gal turned to salt and all that kind of stuff, all right? She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed. Interesting that that's there in that little list, isn't it? And unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them, as you have seen. So, boy, this is pretty tough stuff. I mean, even think about this. The evidence in the Old Testament is that people fasted for some specific reason. God calls, the prophets call a fast. It, you know, and you read in the Old Testament where they called a fast. And it was usually in a time of where there was dedication of a building. They were going to war. There was some event coming. And we talked about this at the men's meeting yesterday. When the Old Testament people called for a fast, it was not optional. You fasted. I mean, you couldn't say, I don't feel like it. It's not for me. It's, you know, I'm past that, or I don't need that, all those kinds of things. No, when they called for a fast, it was mandatory. Everybody had to do it. And it was really kind of a theocracy the way it was set up, because the temple, the priests, actually ran all society. The laws of society were through it, so they could actually force you to do those things. They were commanded to fast at times. Sometimes they were called. Sometimes they were commanded to do it. Usually in times of spiritual idolatry, where the people were out worshiping false gods and doing things that they shouldn't do. I thought about the movie Cool Hand Luke, if you remember that movie. And when Cool Hand Luke, Paul Newman was being straightened out by the warden, and the warden said the reason he was putting him through this is that he's trying to get his mind right, all right? And so sometimes fasting gets your mind right, all right? It's a way of going through the system. And then other times when people chose to fast, you know, for direction, for sickness, or things like that. But why did God compare these people to Sodom? That's what the scripture just showed. It said that they were arrogant. They had a pride in their fleshly accomplishments. And sometimes we do that, you know. We're kind of above that. You know, fasting is not for me. You know, I'm really above that. You know, I'm spiritually well. This is not about fasting, but you'll get the picture. When my dad, I led my dad to the Lord. He was 63, 4, 5 years old. I don't remember exactly how old. And I started talking to him about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he told me, he said, I don't need that. I just don't need that. I'm fine, Morris. I'm fine. Man, I got Jesus. I'm fine. I don't need that. I said, but Dad, you ought to think about it, you know. He said, no, I don't need that. Well, this went on for years. And one day he went to Marvin Gorman's church when he was down in New Orleans, and he went on a Monday night to a miracle service. He called me on the phone late at night. It must have been 11 o'clock at night, which is unusual. When your parents call you 11 o'clock at night, you don't want to answer the phone, right? I said, are you okay? And my dad said, oh, and he's just laughing. And I said, what's the matter? He said, well, they called for people to go down front. I went down, and Brother Gorman laid hands on me. He said, I got slain in the Holy Spirit, and I came up speaking in other tongues. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I said, and he says, this is the word. He said, this is just what I needed. I thought, I've been telling you that for years, and you're not paying any attention to me. You know? And it's the same way with fasting. You know, I'm trying to tell you need it, and you're saying, oh, I don't need it. And if you'll fast, and at the end of the fast, you'll say, this is just what I needed. All right? So let me encourage you by using my dad as an illustration of what you need. It said they were overfed. You know, just overdoing it, and we do that. We're so addicted to food. I had a guy from Africa that came here to America, and his name was Moses. That wasn't his real name, but that's what he called himself. He had a tribal name, and he had tribal markings on his face where they had cut him. And, you know, that was the thing they did. I mean, he was a real African, all right, from Africa. And we were eating lunch, and we had gone to Popeye's and got some chicken, and everybody was eating chicken, you know, throwing the part you didn't like on the side and that. And he's eating the bones. And I said, Moses, what are you doing? He says, I'm eating the chicken. I said, yeah, but we don't eat the bones. He said, oh, well, I come from eat everything, you know. And he said, do you ever notice that you people in America are addicted with food? He said, it's all you're ever talking about. You get finished one meal, you're talking about the next meal. You know, what you're going to prepare, you know. You're talking about restaurants. You're talking about, do you want this to drink, or, you know, this snack. He said, you're addicted to food. And I said, I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus, you know, for making that kind of statement about us Americans. But it's true, we are addicted to food. You don't believe that? Just go look in the mirror. We are. I mean, we're just, you know, we're stuffing in, boy, with two hands. I mean, we're all guilty of this thing. And we don't necessarily eat food that's good for us. We just want anything that's available. You know, there's a voice in the refrigerator that says, come and eat me. I have something in here for you, you know. So I think that's the identification. We just tend to do that. It said they were unconcerned. They were unconcerned to somebody who's just kind of lazy and unproductive. You know, think about yourself in the kingdom. You know, are you being lazy? Are you just kind of sitting back with your feet kicked up and enjoying your Twinkies? And, you know, I just don't need to fast, Pastor. And I don't feel like it. Well, I'll join the club. I don't feel like it either. You think I woke up this morning and said, oh, hallelujah, we're going on a 21-day fast? I've been worried about it for weeks, months. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. And as I say those words, I can hear my stomach saying, feed me, feed me. And they neglected the poor. They didn't take care of the poor. And literally this, the New Living Translation says this, about neglecting the poor, said the poor suffered outside their doors. So self-centered that we don't think about other things and other people. You know? So, and then he said they had detestable behavior. Just leading a rude life. You know? And maybe some of us need to change our lifestyle. Maybe we'll be a little bit rough around the edges. I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about the kind of lifestyle we live. You know, maybe we need to, you know, work on that. In America, we're obsessed with richness, being rich. I just found a new program on TV that I don't recommend to anybody. It's a network. It's called the AWE Network, A-W-E. And it's for a wealth experience. And I like boats. Y'all know I like guns, but I also like boats. I stay away from them since I lost my arm, but I like boats, all right? Those of you who don't know, I fell into a prop on my boat, so that's why I only have one arm. That's another story. But anyway, they're selling yachts. And, you know, I had a 19-foot boat, most expensive thing I ever owned other than my wife. You know, I'm telling you, that thing, I poured more money into that thing, you know, keeping it operational.
You have no point to me.
And the you know, they say the two happiest days in your life, the day you buy a boat, the day you get rid of the boat. And that's absolutely true. So, but then, you know, I'm not talking about a $5, $10, $20,000 boat. These are $5, $6, $7 million boats, all right? And they got these young people. I mean, just young. They're in their 30s, and they buy them. They say, what are they robbing banks? I don't even know where they get their money from. But one of these kind of reality shows, and they show them buying these luxury boats and I thought I had a crave for riches. I mean, I'm not even in that league. I can't even think about that. So, but we tend to be thinking about those kinds of things. We're kind of spiritually bankrupt in a lot of ways. I mean, most folks don't even care about church. You drove to church today. I'll bet you drove by people who are out running, doing their lawn, walking their dogs, doing other things, but they're not going to church. You know, that's one of the things that's wrong with America today, but that's another sermon for another day, being spiritually bankrupt. So history tells us that to seek God in prayer and fasting is good for us. They did it in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I believe that we should be doing it today. All right, second thing is the church should be fasting because the results are undeniable. Let's look at another picture, scripture from the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 23 and 4 and then 29 and 30. Chapter 29, verse 30. 29 and 30. I'll get it right. Alarm Jehoshaphat. Everybody say Jehoshaphat.
Jehoshaphat.
Doesn't it feel good to say that? That's one of those words. You just got a ring to it. Jehoshaphat. You know. Alarm Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. This is one of those guys I told you about. They just proclaim it. This is the way it's going to be. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. They were about to get attacked by the enemy. That's what the problem was. They're about to get overrun. And so Jehoshaphat called for a fast. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Now, isn't that nice? Everybody went out to seek the Lord. And then over in verses 29, they actually won the victory. I skipped all of that passage. You can go back and read it for yourself. They won the victory. And the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. So he called a fast for the people, and they won the victory. Without exception, whenever people called for a fast, they got results. Without exception in the Bible. I can't find any place where they didn't call for a fast where they didn't get good results. Fasting says that you're serious. Listen, if your enemy's about to overrun your house and take your goods and your wife and your kids and your everything you got, you probably get serious. Lord, help me. You know, say, gee, do I have 21 days to fast? You know, you got 21 seconds to live. You know, and that's when you get serious. And seriousness shows that you really do care about your life and about your relationship to God. And so fasting is a serious step. This is not baby steps. People say many times, oh, I don't like to go to the church because all they do is feed me the milk of the word. You know, I need some T-bones to eat on. I need something strong. I need some real meat. Well, here's some real meat for you, all right? It's give up meat. This is not for the wimps. This is for making a decision about yourself that who's in control of your life? Is King's stomach in control? That's what Jensen Franklin says. Or is God in control of your life? No? Maybe you've never thought about this before. When people were sick, they fasted and prayed for people who were sick. You got sickness in your body? Might be a good idea to fast. You got sickness in your family? Might be a good idea to fast. When they were trapped in sin, fasting broke the power of sin. People get delivered from sin that they can't get delivered from in any kind of way. If you're tired of what you're doing, if you're doing something and you're tired of, again, keep this in context. I'm not talking about going to heaven and going to hell. I'm talking about your life that you're living right here on this earth. You know, are you trapped in something that you know is displeasing to you and probably displeasing to God, and you can't get out of it? A 21-day fast will get you prepared to get out of that. Things can change. When there was demonic activity, fasting breaks the power of the enemy and drives him away from you. You're being harassed? Is the enemy after you, after your family, after your finances, after your health? Fasting is a good way to block him off and stop him. You know, let me stop there for just a minute. Isn't it interesting that the big temptation that Jesus went through, he went through immediately after a fast? He was on a 40-day fast. And he beat him hands down. He said, well, he was Jesus. No, he was just a man who happened to be the Son of God. Remember, he put aside all of his kingdom power, if you will, to live as a man so that you and I could see that, how normal human beings in the kingdom can act and move and have their being. You need direction. When people need a direction, when you're in the wilderness of your life, when you wake up in the morning, you don't know what to do. How am I going to go on? Here's a way to find a way to go on. It's through fasting. Because when you're fasting, you're hungry, you're going to pray, you're going to remember who you are, you're going to say to yourself, you're going to say to your situation, I am serious about this. I am seeking God for direction. Jehoshaphat called for a fast for Judah, and God gave them the victory. They won the victory. Many times when the Israel went to battle and didn't fast and didn't pray and didn't call on God, they lost. And they would wonder why. Gee, why did we lose the battle? God said, well, if you called on me, you might have won. If you'd have fasted and prayed, maybe you'd have won. But those are the things that when we're... It's the oh me moments of life. Oh me. Oh me. You won't believe what's going on in my life, Pastor. Why? You know, my finances are wrecked. My health is a wreck. My kids are a wreck. My husband's a wreck. My wife's a wreck. Here we go. Oh me. What am I going to do? And I say to you as a holy man, that's what somebody called me one time. I think that's funny. A holy man. As a holy man, I say, why don't you fast about that? No, I don't need that. I need some help. I'm trying to tell you where to get some help. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare, the things that we use, are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting out imaginations, and every high thing that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God. You want a weapon to use? You want to fight off the devil? You want to see some victory? This is a weapon of warfare. And it's a spiritual weapon because it doesn't make any sense. You'd make a decision fast. And you go tell somebody, your best friend, somebody else, say, well, I'm going to fast for 21 days. You say, why would you do that? Well, because I need a victory in my life. Huh? They won't get it. Because it's spiritual and it's not cardinal. The cardinal mind doesn't like it. The physical body doesn't like it. The only one who likes it is God, because he's telling us this is one of the ways to gain victory in our lives against the things that come against us. So, what do you need to do? If you're in a serious situation, do something serious. And this is one of the things that you can do. There are other things you can do. And will God deliver you if you don't fast? Maybe. I don't know. If you do fast, is God going to say he's going to deliver you? Maybe. I don't know. But I'll say this. I think the probability is on your side. In the fast, that you'll get the victory. I just think that, because the scriptures indicate that. Historically, we see that. The evidence of fasting are evident in our churches. Churches are a lot of times more sick than they need to be, more weak than they need to be, more powerless than they need to be, because church won't pay the price. I promise you, most churches in this town are not talking about fasting this morning. They're talking about other things that are good, but they're not talking about this subject. Because a lot of times, God forgive us all, the pastors don't want to do it either. Then we make up theological reasons as to why we don't have to do it. Well, because, you know, when we're in Christ, Christ is in us, and we have the Lord with us, and because the Lord is with us, we no longer need to fast. I've got some good friends who believe that. Well, because we're saved and we're in the new covenant, we don't need to fast. Except that, why did Jesus say when you fast and when you pray and when you give? So why don't we start preaching the Bible? If you really believe that, go to your church and say, okay, starting now, we don't need to fast because we have Christ. And we don't need to pray anymore because we have Christ. And we don't need to give anymore because we have Christ. Now, you can't cherry pick what you want out of the scriptures. You know, you either take the whole enchilada or you take none of it. At least be consistent. I know nobody in town is preaching this. Well, beloved, I've come to the conclusion that we're in Christ and we no longer have to give. So we're not going to pass the basket anymore. We're going to get rid of the box. And we're just going to let God give us all the money we need. That sermon's not being preached. I'm not preaching it, that's for sure. Okay, one last thing. The church should be fasting because the incentives are timeless. There we go. 2 Chronicles 20:25. So Jehoshaphat, I love that name, Jehoshaphat, and his men went to, thankfully I didn't name any of my kids that. They probably wouldn't have liked that. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and articles of value, more than they could take away. You gotta understand this. They won the battle. They fasted. They prayed. God gave them the victory. They got so much stuff, it says, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. Now, that's the kind of stuff I like. You know? Now we're talking. Now I see some motivation as to why maybe I ought to be fasting. I mean, man, what a great victory that was. What a great victory that was. Jensen Franklin says this in his book, fasting is not just a physical discipline, it can be a spiritual feast. Wow, you want to hear that again? Fasting is not just a physical discipline, it can be a spiritual feast. Fast in the Bible brought rewards, victories, and answers. Rewards, victories, and answers. Do you need some rewards? Do you need some victories? Do you need some answers? Here's a way to do it. You can start a fast. The devil uses food against us. I didn't realize this until I read Jensen's book. How much food was used to tempt people. Do you know what? Think about this. Do you know what Adam and Eve's problem was? How did he tempt them to disobey God? Ooh. Let's take a bite of that. It wasn't an apple. The fruit of that tree. You'll be all right. You know, God wouldn't hurt you for eating that. tempted through food. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just think about that. What about Jacob? Jacob gave up his inheritance for a bowl of soup. He was so hungry. King's stomach was so prevalent in his life. He told his brother, you know, I'll give you my half of the kingdom. Just give me a bowl of that partridge that you have. I don't know about partridge, but I think it was soup. I probably wouldn't eat it. But Israel, when in the wilderness, what did they demand? We want food. We're tired of eating this manna anyway. Give us some meat. It's all about food. Jesus, you know what he was tempted with right after his fast? Why don't you say to those stones, make them into bread? Why? Because Jesus was hungry. Again, dealing with the stomach. You see, our stomachs are a big problem for us. It's down there right now, just, you know, getting ready for the next pain, all right? And it's going to pain you that you want food. Now, after you have lunch today, I promise you, if you make the decision to fast today, you go out and you have lunch, you go home and you have lunch, whatever you have lunch, you won't be finished the last spoonful or forkful. And you're going to think about, what am I going to do later? Well, it's only 3 o'clock. What about 6 o'clock? It starts right away. It starts in your brain, in your mind. Say, well, I can't do this. Some people fast for 20 minutes. That's it. You're 20 minutes, you know, and it's all over with. But while I'm on that subject for just a minute, by the way, if you do fast, you know, if you decide to do this and you make it for a day or 2 days and then you can't go anymore and you run down to the donut shop or wherever your favorite food place is and you eat it, you say, well, the fast is over. No, you just messed up one day. Don't quit. You know, just jump back on the wagon, all right? We'll wait for you, all right? You know? So don't give up just because you mess up or you have to eat or something. Don't let that bother you. Are you giving your rewards away for a bowl of soup? Think about that. You know, are you giving away the victory God would give in your life for a bowl of soup? Just because you don't want to. Just because you're tired of hearing me talk about it. And you know that some of you won't be back next week because you don't want to hear any more about it. You might come see the movie. That's why I've got the movie. Hopefully he gets you back at least once more, you know, during the fast, because you might like to see a free movie. Without popcorn, by the way. Okay, so if you want any popcorn. Although I could probably make an argument that popcorn is a vegetable. Yeah. It says you can eat it? Did the list say we can have popcorn? We will have popcorn then, all right. Popcorn with no butter, she said, all right. Gee, I don't even know what I got in there. I got to read it again, all right? So, I guess this is a question. I want to kind of close with this thought. Are you living on spiritual bread and water because you won't deny yourself or fast? It amazes me that in the scripture, in several places, it talks about God sets a banqueting table. Psalm 23, which is probably the most popular psalm of it all, you know, for the Lord is my shepherd, you know, I shall not want. And one of the places that he said he prepares a banqueting table before us in the presence of my enemies. Now, when you think about that, you're probably thinking about turkey and ham and stuffing and cranberry sauce and all that stuff. Now, I don't think that's what it is. I think it's a spiritual banquet. There, Pat reminded me of this the other day when Jesus met the woman at the well. And if you remember the story, he sent the disciples off to get some food. Imagine that. They went down to the local 7-Eleven, wherever it is you get food. I don't know where they went to get food, but they went to get food someplace. And Jesus meets the woman at the well, and he talks to her, and as this conversation proceeds, you know, he discovers from her, which he already knew, that she had been married 7 times or whatever it was. And eventually, she realized that she was talking to somebody very important. He had living water to give her. And she goes off into town to tell everybody about this man she met at the well. So the disciples show up. And you got to have a sense of humor when you read the Bible. The disciples show up and they say, we brought some food. And Jesus says, I'm not hungry. And they say to each other, where did he get the food from? You know, where did he get the food from? They're thinking in the natural. Jesus is talking in the supernatural. And this is what I want you to hear. He said, I have food to eat that you know not of. They thought he was talking about a loaf of bread or some fish he got from someplace else. And he was talking about something in the spirit. There is food in the spirit that will nourish your spirit that you can't find anywhere else. You can't buy it. You can't get a spoonful of it. You can't save it. It's like manna that feeds us every day and nourishes us every day. And when you're on a fast and you deny yourself the physical things that you'd like to have, you are feeding yourself a banquet of spiritual food. I want to close with this thought. Some of you may say, well, you know, Pastor, last year we went on a fast and you talked me into it and I did it and I didn't want to do it. And, you know, and it was crummy. Nothing happened. I went through 21 days of misery and nothing happened. Well, I say, I don't believe you. Something happened and you may not see it, but I believe God honors a true fast. I believe God honors it. This morning, I'm the kind of guy who loves to go to bed. I fight it. I'm like a kid. I fight it, but when I get there, I love it because I just love to roll over and just go, you know, and I'm gone. You know, you could come in with an A-bomb and set it off. You might wake me up. I mean, I'm just a heavy sleeper, and so I enjoy my sleep. This morning, I woke up about 2:30. Now, I'm not crazy. I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. You can just decide yourself whether I'm crazy or not. And I woke up, and I was kind of wide awake, and I turned over, and I looked at the clock. It was 2:30. I said, oh, man, I got to go back to sleep. So I'm trying to go back to sleep, and the Lord says to me, he said, why don't you start to fast now? Come pray. I thought, no. I said, I don't want to get up. And I said, no, come on in the living room where I usually go. And I said, no, I just pray right here. So I started praying. And so I started praying, God bless mommy, God bless daddy, you know, God bless everybody. So I went through a God bless thing, and I thought I'd just fall back to sleep. And I didn't fall back to sleep. So a half hour later, I'm still there wide awake, and I said, okay. I'll get up. I get up and I go out into the living room and I started the fire. It's real easy in my house because there's a switch on the wall. You see, it's a switch, all right? So I started the fire and it's kind of nice ambiance. And so I started praying and thinking about I need to get some sleep because I knew I had to come up to church and this morning. I didn't want to be sleepy and so I didn't want to be late for church. So I started praying. And it felt familiar. It felt comfortable. You know, I was kind of awake now, and so I started praying and worshiping. One of the things that I do when I pray early in the morning, I always thank God for what he's done for me. I mean, the fact that he saved me and changed my life. And I kind of go through that little thing, and then I asked the Lord to bless my wife and my kids and kind of went through that little thing. And then I decided to sit down and read some scripture. Now, this is before the fast, so you're not supposed to hear from God before the fast. You have to wait till the fast is in progress before you can hear anything. That's what I believe, you know, but I was wrong. Well, Pat had shared some scripture with a friend of ours during the week, and she asked me to be there when she did it, out of the book of Zechariah. Well, Zechariah is not one of my favorite books. I like Jehoshaphat, but Zechariah is not. That's no fun to say, Zechariah. Jehoshaphat's got to bring to it. So I'm kind of perusing it. And I ran across a couple of things that really I think would be of interest to you. In this passage of scripture, I was in chapter 7 and 8, and I'm not going to read it all to you right here, but But it talks about a fast. I said, wow, that's interesting. You know, and he talks about having a fast with the morning. And he says, I don't want you to fast like that anymore. And in verse 12 of chapter 8, it says, I am planting seeds of peace and prosperity among you. The grapevine will be heavy with fruit. The earth will produce its crops, and the heavens will release the dew. Once more, I will cause the remnant in Judah and Israel to inherit these blessings. And we are the remnant. You know, we're grafted into Israel, and all the promises of Israel are our promises. And I thought, wow, peace and prosperity. I thought, these are two good words for our fast, and I think they're good words for the year. That we'd have some peace and we'd have some prosperity. And I went on and I read down in verse 19, this is what the Lord of the heaven's armies, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. The traditional fast in times of mourning you have kept in early summer, midsummer, autumn, and winter are now over. They will become festivals of joy and celebration for the people of Judah. So love, truth, and peace. So when I was reading that, this is not a time of fasting and mourning. This is a time for us to fast with joy and celebration. I want to give you four key words to carry through the fast. Peace, prosperity, joy, and celebration. All right? Peace, prosperity, joy, and celebration. And you'll find that in Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 12, and then verse 19. You can read the whole thing, but those are the two things that there's a lot more that I could tell you, but those things really popped out to me. And you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not the dullest knife either. And I know when God's saying something to me, and I really realized that God was giving me a message for you. To give us some peace, to give us some prosperity, to give us some joy and a time of celebration. This is a time for us to do that. There may be a time of mourning later, but for right now, this is the thing that God wants to put into us. And so I'm going to be talking about this for the first, I don't know how long. I'm going to go back and look some more in Zechariah. I can't even say it. It's the one that starts with the Z, Zechariah. I got it. Because I believe there's a lot in there for us, so that this is going to be a festive feast and a festive fast. We're going to feast on spiritual things as we go through this, and I believe it's going to be a joy for us. It's not going to be a burden. It's going to be a joy. So take those four words with you and be encouraged. If you decide that fasting is not for you and you don't want to do it, that's okay. God's going to love you and I'm going to love you. He'll love you more than I will, but, you know, that's okay. But I want you to do this. It's not for me, but it's for you, because I know you well enough to know you got things in your life that should be good for you, okay? So give it a try. Try it for an hour, you know, or 2 hours, or a meal, or just whatever, and just see what happens. And while you're fasting, remember, you're going to fast and pray. And so we're going to meet here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for an hour of prayer, hour or whatever, but that'll be the plan. So, but pray at home, you know, read your scriptures. Let me encourage you to read Zechariah. It's about 12 chapters, I think. It's way towards the end of the Old Testament. I think you'll find some good fruit in there. Okay? Sound good? All right, let's all stand. I'm going to let you. I kept you over, and I would apologize, but you're all the one who did all the talking. He took up all my time. And I had a lot of stuff to cover this morning. And I hope I haven't overkept you. And just remember, the later you eat today, the shorter your fast will be. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving these words to us from Zechariah, the prophet. Father, I pray that you'll permeate our lives with peace, that in the craziness of the world and all the things that are going on nationally, locally, and in our individual lives, that you'd give us peace. Father, I just pray that you'd prosper us, not only in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm during this fast, that we might be fat on the grapes of the Spirit, and that our inner man and woman would grow through it all. And Father, I ask you to give us joy. I know that many times doesn't seem to be any joy nearby, but I ask you to give us joy. And Father, we realize that joy is not happiness. Happiness is fleeting, but joy is a sense of well-being that sustains us. So let us have joy, and let us have a time of celebration. Let us celebrate in you. Let us be able to celebrate in ourselves that we've been able to do this, and that 21 days from now when we stand here together, Lord, if you're so gracious as to let us be able to live to be back here, let us have a great time of celebration that we did it, that we spent the time starting off our year, 2016, of focusing on you, hungering and thirsting for you, and that we will be filled, we'll be stuffed like a chipmunk, Father, with good spiritual food that will sustain us throughout the entire year. We love you, Lord. We thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, amen and amen. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.